On our bloggers roundtable, where are we 5 years after the Iraq invasion? The Detroit City Council asks Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick to resign, and New York Governor David Paterson and his wife Michelle publicly admit that they stepped out on each other. With us today, Valencia Rohner. She runs the blog Diary of a Content Black Woman and hosts the Content Black Woman show on Blog Talk Radio. Also, LN Rock, otherwise known as the African-American Political Pundit. He's also a member of the Afrosphere Bloggers Group and author and DJ Richard Graves, who writes the blog DJ Black Adam. Welcome, folks.
Hi, Farai.
Hello.
So there's plenty to talk about. Let's start with Iraq. We've been talking throughout the show about the fifth anniversary. Today's the fifth anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Richard, let me start with you. You served in the Marine Corps during the first Persian Gulf War. Did you support going into Iraq 5 years ago?
Well, I actually did support it. I supported it because of what Colin Powell had to say primarily, plus the fact that I was aware of Saddam Hussein's human rights record, so I figured that something had to be done about him sooner than later. And I, most importantly, though, I was believing that there was weapons of mass destruction there and that perhaps there was a link to al-Qaeda with Saddam Hussein. But once I found out that most of that was untrue, I, like most Americans, was totally against our presence in Iraq right now. However, I think we're stuck, though.
When you say, I think we're stuck, does that mean 5 years, 10 years, 100 years? What does I think we're stuck mean to
well,
you?
Well, I'm under the impression, I'm under the position that the only thing that's going to end the conflict there is partitioning of the country. I agree with Senator Biden with that. And until that happens, we're going to be stuck there keeping those sides apart. Because honestly, politically, there is no way for us to withdraw completely without setting up some type of mandate there in order to keep them from going to the inevitable civil war. I mean, I think that it's inevitable. If we were to withdraw right now completely, there would be a civil war. The question then comes to, is that our concern or should that be our business? And I think it is our concern simply because we broke it. I mean, when you break something, I think you should fix it. I think we would look even worse to the world if we just pulled out and let that whole area go into chaos, plus not to mention how it would destabilize the whole region over there. We can't allow that to happen, regardless of what the Democrats or the Republicans are saying. We cannot allow that to happen. So what we're going to end up doing is staying there until the country is partitioned. And when someone wakes up and decides that's what they're going to do, until that happens, we're going to be stuck there.
Valencia, you heard what Richard just said, and then earlier in the show we heard from Togo West, former Secretary of the Army under President Clinton. He said, we've probably done all that we can, even though the insurgency will continue, it's time to get out. Do you agree with Secretary West?
I do agree. It is time to get out. But I, like Richard, initially was kind of in support of the war initially because of Colin Powell. He had a credibility that I trusted and believed in and a record. And we later found out that basically he was kind of pushed into kind of being in support of the situation. And now, and he said, if you break it, you fix it. And so we've broken it, but it doesn't look like we're going to be able to fix it. And so now we have a lot of lost lives. Bush gave his report on it in light of the anniversary. And it just is very frustrating because he appears to be just so delusional in terms of what the real impact is. And I would expect better leadership out of my president.
Ellen, there are protests going on around the country, you know, some of them huge, but protests that occurred before the war didn't stop the war. If you're against the war, are protests really useful today? If Americans, certainly some Americans do want to stop the war, how would you go about communicating that?
Well, I think that the protest right on time. In fact, in getting to the studio here, I was blocked off by protests for about an hour just to get here. It was powerful. It's a powerful protest. It's about time. 5 years later, billions of dollars spent each month, going on possibly $2 or $3 trillion over a 10-year period. Togo West is right. And what are we supposed to be now? The gatekeepers of what is right and wrong in America, in the world. We have to stop at some point, and the point is now. We need to get out. We need to get out as soon as practical. We just have to do it. We have to withdraw. I'm not in agreement with those that would say, well, we got to stay for 100 years or 10 years or 15 years. The fact that folks are willing to demonstrate and say, like Code Pink, we have to stop this madness. I mean, when does the madness stop?
I want to point out that you're in Washington, D.C., and that's where the protests around you are, and there are ones all over the country. But let's go back to this issue of partitioning. Ellen, I want to ask you about what Richard brought up, which is the idea of doing something somewhat similar to the former Yugoslavia and creating territories, you know, the Kurds, the Sunnis, the Shia. Is that, A, is that America's job, and B, would it work?
It's not America's job, and I'm not sure if it'd work or not, but it's up to the Iraqis to make a decision on where they want to go in terms of their country. If they want to create separate states, as an example, separate territories, it should not be an authority. You know how we came in and got rid of the Baathists and got rid of all the military and just said, let's start from scratch, let's bomb people into submission. Well, now that we have bombed them into submission, there's a point where you have to say, guess what, we have to get out of here. We cannot do any better. In fact, we'll probably do worse. I'm with Togo on this.
Richard?
Well, I kind of disagree with you there. I mean, I do realize that it is up to the Iraqi people, but it was up to the Iraqi people before we went in the first time. And since we did not allow the evolution to take course where the Shiites eventually tried to, you know, get rid of the Baath party, what we have done, we've gone in there, we bombed the country, and where we failed, we didn't fail in going in and invading and occupying the country. We failed in setting up government and in dealing with administering the country. So we did that completely wrong. We didn't go in, like Colin Powell had said, with overwhelming force, nor did we go in looking to try to be able to govern a country, kind of let it be a free-for-all. Now you have a situation that if we do just pull out all willy-nilly, then the Iranians are going to come in there, and that's a whole different problem. Ultimately, I'm sure to everybody, as a veteran, as a Marine, I want to see all the Marines come home. But unfortunately, we've started something, and we're going to have to finish it. And I'm not saying it like a Republican, saying we got to stay there for 100 years.
Yeah, you are.
We got to be real about it. Well, I'm not a Republican, so I'm not saying it like a Republican. But I'm saying it as realistically, I'm a realist. Realistically, we have to make sure that we leave that place as stable as possible, or whether you guys like it or not, we'll be right back there again, because the United States is the United States. We are part of NATO, and if that part of the world goes psycho, we'll be the ones back there again, and it'll be a whole lot harder to go back there and even attempt to try to impose anything after the fact.
Valencia, people are paying attention to this today, and I think, you know, obviously it's on the minds of Americans, but right now the incredible volume of things that's happening with the economy is really, from what I can tell, the foremost things on people's minds. And so in that case, will Iraq just sort of continue without enough discussion because people have their minds on other issues?
I think that it will continue because it has an impact, especially if people's families are associated, or you know someone whose family is associated and haven't been in the war. But the economy is a real issue, and people are losing their homes at record rates. And the Federal Reserve Board dropped the interest rate, you know, yesterday. But is it too little, too late? I mean, we're dealing with these issues, and so while the war continues to be an issue, and we will have people speak out against it, you do risk things like the protests that are taking place to have as less as an impact because people are so concerned about their own personal welfare.
I want to move us on to another topic. It has a little bit more to do with personal welfare, but not in a particularly good sense. We're talking about Detroit. Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick, the Detroit City Council asked him to resign yesterday because of basically him lying under oath about an alleged affair. Kilpatrick responded by saying, quote, "You take a whole day to discuss an issue like this. My reaction is this is over. It has no effect. It's not binding. Let's get back to work." He basically said that he has no intention of stepping down. Valencia, you're blogging about this. What's going on?
I think, like Bush, he's delusional. I mean, he just doesn't get it. He has had an impact on the city of Detroit in a way. This morning, I visited the Channel 7 news report, Detroit's news report, and it indicated that 96% of the people who voted want him to step down. I mean, so he needs to understand what his actions have done to the office, and the office is bigger than he is, and I think he just needs to step down because of the demand, because otherwise it's going to distract from the other important issues. I mean, Detroit's in a terrible economic situation, and it's going to be just difficult to deal with that and a host of other issues unless he just humbles himself and steps aside, because it's going to get worse before it can get better.
Well, you know, there's actually something else going on. The New York Governor David Paterson held a news conference. He said that he and his wife Michelle had extramarital affairs during a rough patch in their marriage. With his wife by his side, he stressed that he didn't break the law. So that's, it's just like, it's kind of like Cheaters Daily or something. Ellen, what's going on?
Wow. I was amazed at that story. Not the fact that people cheat and relationships go south for a moment. And in fact, in many ways, I respect him for coming out and saying it before others found out. In fact, that's probably it. It was one of those cover your butt situations with him, because the former governor who just left just a couple of days ago had to cover his butt. So I guess it's a situation where he didn't want to get caught up in the same situation and, in fact, get turned out like the previous governor did.
Richard, do you think that this is a day that will go down in infamy for, you know, politicians, just like, you know, yet another day of confessions? Or was this just a shrewd, smart political move?
I think it was a very smart political move. If he hadn't have come out with it, I'm sure the Republicans are wanting to get the governor's position in New York State, and it would have been exposed, and it exposed in the wrong way, and it would have been controversialized, and it would just been utilized as a tool to try to remove a Democrat from the governor's seat in that state. So he was very smart in getting it out ahead of time. He did it on his own terms, as opposed to waiting for somebody to catch him with his pants down.
You know, some people have said, yeah, I mean, literally and figuratively, some people have said, oh, this is a bad day for black people. You know, once again, we're in the news for cheating. I think that Elliot Spitzer may have taken some of the sting off of that. But, you know, there is this movement, Valencia, where it's like, if one black person does bad, it's on all of us. I mean, is there any sense that this is something that, you know, is a shame, or is this just politics as usual?
You know, quite frankly, I think it's politics as usual. And to your point, Spitzer's situation has taken the stink off. I mean, to wake up on the other day and, you know, my daughter says, just TMI, too much information. And in light of all this, now the New Jersey's former governor's wife's driver came out and said that they were involved in a threesome. I mean, can our children not watch the news to complete current events reports now? I mean, so
obviously not.
So I don't take it as a black issue, because it seems like everybody has got more than enough skeletal bones in their closet, it seems like.
And Ellen, what do you see ahead for Paterson? That this is just done and over, as opposed to Kwame Kilpatrick, where it's definitely not done and definitely not over, the debate, I mean?
I would say that Kwame is done, and this is done for Paterson as well. I'm talking about done in the sense that I don't think anybody's going to make any noise about it.
So the Paterson scandal is over, but Kwame
I think it's over.
Yeah.
But Kwame, he should learn from Spitzer and just go ahead and resign.
All right. Lady, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking with author and DJ Richard Graves. He writes the blog DJ Black Adam. He was at member station WBEZ in Chicago. LN Rock, otherwise known as the African-American political pundit. He was at NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C. And Valencia Rohner of the blog Diary of a Content Black Woman. She was with me here at our NPR West studios. And you can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org.